today is a Christmas weekday, and it's also a First Friday. We honor the Sacred Heart, and it's also the Feast of the Most Holy Name of Jesus. A feast which I love because it gives us another opportunity to reflect on who this is, who was born on Christmas Day, and who has come into the world in order to save us. The name Jesus means God saves. We had a little preview of this feast on Wednesday. I remember what day of the week it is. Wednesday, with the Solemnity of Mary, because in the Gospel on Wednesday, we heard about the shepherds going and seeing the child of Jesus in the manger. And then it said on the eighth day, when the day came for his circumcision, he was given the name Jesus, the name that was given to him before he was conceived. So he was given this name by the angel when the angel appeared, when Angel Gabriel appeared to Mary, said, you're going to give birth to a child, you name him Jesus. And then a little bit later, when the angel came to Joseph, Mary was already with child, and the angel said to Joseph, you're going to name the child Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. So that's what we're celebrating, the holy name of Jesus. Part of why I love this is because the giving of a name and the significance of names is really important in the Bible, and therefore very important in our religion. And it's something that is lost in modern culture, where names no longer have any meaning or seemingly any significance at all. And that's why people give their children such weird names. But in the Bible, that's not how it's done. Names have a very specific and important meaning. But how can we have a name for God? I mean, because a name gives us an access point to the one that we name. In some ways, and this was a biblical understanding, if you know someone's name, you have some power over that person, which is why sometimes people don't tell their name. Even in modern times, they use an alias. Because if someone knows your name, they have some kind of power or some kind of connection. When the first man was being shown the creatures of the earth, he was told, you can give them names. It was a sign of his authority. So Adam named all the animals. But that principle doesn't work for God, because there's no way we can have authority over God. We can't have any power over him. And that's why God is usually referred to not by personal names, but by titles. In fact, even God is not really a personal name. That's a title. That's a description of the divinity. We use the word God. And so we use titles, the Almighty, Lord God Almighty, or in the Old Testament, the Holy One of Israel, and many other titles like that. Those are titles, they're not names. It's something like when people address royalty, say the King of the UK, for example, King Charles III. They don't say, Hi, Charles. They say, Your Highness, or Your Majesty. Because those are titles. Because to say Charles or Charlie, it would imply a certain personal connection, not dominance exactly, but some kind of a power. So you don't just go up to a king and say, Hi, Charles. You say, Good morning, my lord. Or good morning. In the British system, my lord is another way of addressing people with high rank, Your Highness. So that's what we do with God even to this day. And it's right. I mean, that's not a bad thing, to address those with high rank with a title, because it's respectful of their rank. And we do that with God. We do call God, the Lord God, the Almighty. Lord God Almighty, we do it all the time in liturgical prayers. Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, Almighty God, we use these terms. But when Moses met God in the burning bush, and God said, now go to my people and tell them I'm going to set them free. And Moses said, well, how can I tell them that you are sending me? What's your name? He didn't put it that bluntly, but he said, what should I tell the people? And God gave Moses this mysterious name, I am who am. I am who am. Which is, we consider it a name, but it's not really a name because it doesn't really identify him personally. It identifies him as a mysterious being, overbeing. He is. He simply is. And the Jews captured that name that was revealed to Moses with the letters YHWH. YHWH. Tetragrammaton, they call it. There are four letters, YHWH. We would say Yahweh, Yahweh. But the Jews would never, and even to this day, they do not pronounce his name out of respect for God. They substitute Yahweh, instead of saying Yahweh, they say the Lord, or in Hebrew, Adonai. Adonai is the Lord. Again, respect for someone above us, the Lord. In today's readings, we're not using the readings that are chosen for the feast day, but they help us understand how God reveals himself to us and what we call him. In the first reading, a reading from John, first epistle of John, John gives us this beautiful expression, see what love the Father has bestowed on us, that we may be called the children of God. So Father is not a name in the sense of a personal name, but it is a title. It is an indication of a relationship. So it's a more personal than saying Almighty One or God or Lord God, but it's not a name. And when we speak to our human fathers, we don't usually call them by name. We call them Father or Dad or Tatai or something like that. It's a title, which is fitting. But it's beautiful to have this, and this was revealed by Jesus, that when we talk to God, we can call him Abba. We can call him Father, our Father who art in heaven. That does give us a connection to God, not power over him, but a personal relationship. That's why we can be called children of God, because he's our Father, and that's true. Father. John goes on to say that we're children of God now. What we shall be has not yet been revealed. In the book of Revelation, it says that we will be given a name. We don't know what it is yet. Only God knows the name. So this mystery of identification and connection. Yes, we're children of God. We can call God our Father, but we don't yet know fully what we will be when we are drawn into full communion with God in eternal life. But we do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him. We shall be like God, for we shall see him as he is. So calling God Father, being his children, see, these are all revelations of our connection with God. In the gospel, John the Baptist gives us more in relation to Jesus himself. So John the Evangelist is talking about the Father, but John the Baptist sees Jesus and he doesn't say, behold Jesus. He says, behold the Lamb of God. Again, it's not a personal name, but it's a title, and it's a title of extraordinary importance because it identifies him as the sacrificial victim who will save us. Now, that's also a saving term. The word Jesus means God saves, but he saves us by being the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. it's connected to the word, the name Jesus, because Jesus means God saved. Well, saves. Well, what does he save us from? He saves us from sin. That's what the angel told Joseph. You will call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. That's what salvation is all about, being saved from sin. And that's what the Lamb of God does. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Okay, then John speaks about him being revealed by the coming of the Holy Spirit. And at the end he says, now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God. Son of God is also a title. It's a relationship, but it's a title. Son, Son of the Father. So these are all ways we talk about God. But then the one we're celebrating today is Jesus. Jesus, which is not a title. In fact, it was a common human name. There are people named Jesus in the Bible. In fact, it's the same name as Joshua. Joshua and Jesus are the same name. Yeshua. There are people named Jesus to this day. In fact, the bishop that ordained me is Jesus Cabrera. Bishop Jesus Cabrera. So I was ordained by Jesus. I like to tell people that I was ordained by Jesus. So it's a human name. And a human name gives us human connection. I talk about an access point to someone. The ancient biblical idea was that if you know someone's name, you have power over them. Well, it applies in a unique way with Jesus. Because, no, we don't have power over God in the sense that we could tell him to do anything. But we have a personal relationship with him that is revealed only when the word becomes flesh. And he is a human being that we can relate to as a human being. We can call him Jesus, and it's not an insult. We don't only use titles, your majesty, your royal highness, your holiness. We don't only use titles, although we do use them for God, Lord God Almighty. But we also use his personal name because he's made himself accessible by becoming man. This is part of what we celebrate at Christmas time. God, yes, he didn't simply enter into time so that we could call him your highness. He entered into time. He emptied himself of all that royalty. He emptied himself of glory. And he became a helpless child. We've got a little statue of him here. We're talking about a little baby. And we love to learn the baby's name. Oh, what's his name? You see a little baby. Oh, what's her name? That's, so we could say, oh, here's little Johnny, or here's little Mary, or here's little, you know. It's part of our connection with a human being. Okay, so Jesus is God made man. He is God and he is man. We can address him as God, Lord, and we can address him as man, Jesus. So that's the beauty of this feast day. Now, I'd like to conclude by reading a few words from the Catechism. Catechism has a whole section on Jesus. Of course, in fact, the whole catechism is about Jesus. Jesus, he's the very heart of our faith. But let me just read these few lines. This is Catechism of the Catholic Church, number 434. The section actually starts at 430, but I won't read it all. 434. Jesus' resurrection glorifies the name of the Savior God, for from that time on, it is the name of Jesus that fully manifests the supreme power of the name which is above every name. The resurrection is the proof of the power of the name, Jesus. The evil spirits fear his name. It's a very important thing when we're praying. Call on the name of Jesus for power over evil spirits. In his name, his disciples perform miracles, for the Father grants all they ask in this name. Jesus himself promised that. Whatever you ask in my name. The name of Jesus is at the heart of Christian prayer. All liturgical prayers conclude with the words, through our Lord Jesus Christ. not literally. I mean, I just read a liturgical prayer that didn't end like that. It ended God forever and ever. So, but the idea is that the name of Jesus is at the heart of all Christian prayer, and especially liturgical prayer. The Hail Mary reaches its high point in the words, "Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus," very center of the Hail Mary. The Eastern prayer of the heart, the Jesus prayer, says, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner." The tradition is, breathe in, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God," breathe out, "Have mercy on me, a sinner." And it could be repeated many, many times, rhythmically. Many Christians, such as Saint Joan of Arc, have died with the one word, Jesus, on their lips. I could have summarized this whole homily with that one word, Jesus. All our prayer, our hope, our salvation, our connection with God, all summed up. So if you don't know what to say in prayer, or if you can't say anything else, say one word, Jesus. On your deathbed, if you can't recite the whole Chaplet of Divine Mercy or the whole Rosary or the whole Hail Mary or any other of the beautiful and powerful prayers, just say the word Jesus, like Saint Joan of Arc. That's what we celebrate today. We give thanks to God for sending his Son to become one of us. We give thanks to Jesus, our Lord, for revealing his name so that we can relate to him, call upon him, and be saved by him.